This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Equity Mind.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is useful.
Welcome to another episode of the Equity Mates Summer Series, proudly brought to you by Superhero. Over 12 episodes, we're diving into some of the most exciting, interesting, and well-known companies from both here in Australia and over in the US. In some instances, we'll be hearing directly from the CEOs to give you first-hand insight into their companies. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I'm very good, Bryce. Not often that I get excited to talk about a company that's down 74% from its all-time high.
No, that's true. It's not often, but there's good reason, and we'll be getting into it all in a moment. We are talking about one of the COVID stocks of 2021, and that is Peloton. The ticker is PTON. You can find it on the Superhero platform. And we're really excited because we've been fortunate enough to get the Australian country manager, Australian CEO of Peloton, Karen Lawson, who will be joining us at the in the second half of this interview to discuss the launch here in Australia and what she sees as the future prospects of the fitness industry. So a massive episode coming up because this is one, or was one, hot stock, depending on which side of the bull or bear case you sit.
And speaking to some experts that we respect a lot, may well one day be again.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a mouthful. I'm excited to get into this one because I had a view of Peloton going into this episode, going into the research, and I've come out
and
with
how
a
the tables have
and
turned.
I've come out with a different view.
That's investing.
That's investing, baby.
Love that. Well, we are chatting about one of the hottest COVID stocks of 2021, and that is Peloton over in the US. It's a NASDAQ stock. The ticker is PTON. You can check it out on the Superhero platform. And a reminder that the summer series is brought to you by Superhero, who allow you to buy Aussie and US shares and ETFs with no monthly account fees. And you can now earn Qantas points with Superhero. So visit superhero.com.au/Qantas to learn more. Eligibility criteria, terms and conditions, and fees and charges apply. So we're going to be spending the next sort of 20 minutes or so having a look at what Peloton does, a bit about the industry. It's a fascinating industry, its financials and future prospects. There are so many amazing facts that came out of the research process for this company. So this gives you the opportunity to win $1,000 in a Superhero wallet by remembering some of the key facts from this episode, heading across to our Instagram page at Equity Mates and dropping in the comments section on the Peloton post what your favorite stat from this episode was, or favorite fact. We'll choose someone from the comments section to win $1,000 at the end of the week. So plenty of opportunity to get started investing thanks to Superhero. But Ren,
let's start from the very beginning. Bryce, you're the cyclist. In a past life, you were almost a national champion cyclist. So close.
Thanks for reminding me.
you were what could have been?
Yes.
Well, it still might be.
No.
You do have a...
It would be pretty epic to get back into
you
it.
You do have a 150K race in... Well, by the time...
It would have been done.
By the time this is released, yeah. So if they're seeing, you know, you in the news, in all your glory winning the race, then they will know... Oh, I don't even know where I'm going with this. Not. All right.
Look, Peloton.
Bryce, former champion cyclist Leski, tell us about Peloton.
Peloton is the largest interactive fitness platform in the world. You would most likely know it from the fitness bikes that you've seen, but they do plenty more now. It's got a community of more than 6.2 million members. And the idea is that they offer classes across a variety of fitness and sort of wellness disciplines that you can easily do from the comfort of your own home, which is why it absolutely skyrocketed during COVID. So they do... The big one is their indoor cycling.
I was going to say, you're painting it as like this multi-fitness experience.
Oh, they probably like to see it that
it
way.
It is, yeah. It is. And we've actually got some numbers on how that's changed. But like, you think Peloton, you think the bike.
Yeah, well, it's named after a bloody Peloton.
You see, I wouldn't know that because I'm not a former champion cyclist.
Indoor cycling is the big one. You buy the bike, which we'll get into in a moment, and you can join... an interactive indoor cycling class from your lounge room. But they also do other things like indoor, outdoor running and walking. They have boot camps. They run yoga sessions. They also provide weight setup so you can do weights from your own home and join in with the other 6.2 million members around the world. And it's led live by a Peloton instructor on the screen in front of you. So, yeah, look, pretty interesting company and one that has got a lot of attention.
Yeah, so as we said, we got some numbers on how the variety of workouts have changed. Back in 2017, 94% of the workouts on Peloton were cycling related. It was a bike, it was an indoor bike company. By to now, cycling is 58% of all workouts. So it's still the most popular, but from 94% to 58%, that is diversifying your offering. They've
been, yeah, which is good to see.
Yeah, and it makes sense because have you seen some of these other companies that have emerged? Like the Peloton model, like making exercising at home sexy and cool and seamless and easy has been copied by, there's a whole bunch of fitness mirrors. I can never say that word
fitness
right.
Fitness mirrors.
Mirrors.
Yeah.
Tonal is the big one there.
Yeah.
And then there's Rowers, Hydro, I think, is the big one there. So there's a bunch that have taken the Peloton playbook and are trying to copy it. So it makes sense that Peloton are trying to stay ahead of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, home fitness is not a new concept.
No.
Way back in the day, you could buy those.
No, home fitness is not a new concept. You have a door, you have a gym.
I mean, even in the 80s, you could buy those like aerobic fitness VCRs.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, of course. And like there's all those like ab crunches that you slide under your bed and then, you know, like on the... what are they even called? Like Global Shop Direct?
And yeah, all those, like, you whatever know what it is. Yeah, those 40-minute like
ads. Yeah. Jeez, it's been a while since I watched free-to-air TV. Can't even name
free-to-air midday TV.
Yeah. The point is Peloton made it cool.
Yeah, they made it sexy. Yeah.
Peloton made it something that you wouldn't be like ashamed
of.
Ooh,
about. I don't want to be. Yeah. And
it made it something that you would talk about.
Yeah. And the reason being is because they have these sleek, sexy indoor bikes that have amazing screens and ability to interact. So they generate most of their revenue through the sale of these bikes and their treadmills. But look, it is pretty expensive, Ren. The cheapest bike going around, I think, is about $1,900 and they go up to just shy of $4,300 for an indoor bike or a treadmill. On top of that, what you then do is you actually buy an all-access membership. And so you pay, I think, about $39 a month to get access to a range of all of these classes. You can join into the fitness sessions using your treadmill or your bike. Yeah, that's the model.
Mm. Before we go deeper, I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole, but if people are interested, it's a really interesting rabbit hole to go down. Affirm, the buy now, pay later, and Peloton, that is the best example of a symbiotic relationship in business I've ever seen. I'm not sure what the numbers are now, but like a couple of years ago, it was like the majority of Peloton sales were through Affirm and the majority of Affirm sales were of Peloton bikes. And it was just like this symbiotic relationship where these two companies grew together.
Is that still in existence? Because I'm pretty sure now Peloton offer just 0% repayment on their bikes.
It would be through Affirm.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
There you go. Yeah.
But anyway, I think there's an interesting Medium article about it, but you can find stuff on it. Really interesting symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
But it's expensive.
The bike is expensive.
In Australia, an Aussie dollar is $2,500, cheapest bike.
Yeah.
Then $40 a month.
Taking away the capital injection of the bike, $39 a month for an all-access membership. If you're only going to the gym...
Taking away the bike.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, what are you going to do with it? It's your most expensive streaming service.
No, I mean, you've obviously got to get the bike up front.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
But as a membership, gym membership, it's actually not that expensive.
Hold on. Could you just get the membership? Could I just get a shitty Nordic Track Rebel Sport bike and stick an iPad on it and then get the Peloton app?
Oh, yeah.
Have we just cracked it?
Well, that's what it says here. I think they offer a digital membership with no access to bike or tread classes. There you go. So you don't actually get the classes or the treadmill. You probably just get the weights and the yoga and the other bits and pieces that don't require.
Yeah.
That's $13 a month.
So for me, that price was always a barrier. Mm-hmm. And
fair enough.
We'll talk about it later, but put a pin in that price because that... I've changed my mind on that. And for me, that is a key point in changing my mind about the company as a whole. So we'll get to that. But to keep breaking down the company, I think the number that stood out to us more than anything else that really surprised us when we were doing our research, Darcy actually found it and it sort of stopped us all and we had to fact check it and fact check it again, was the
we all took a day off. It was so crazy.
It was the lack of churn. Yeah. For a company that it's something that is quite easily replicable, spin classes, online spin classes, they have a 92% retention rate. And previously it was 96%, which is just pretty astounding, I think.
Yeah, it's an amazing figure. Like, I don't know how replicable it is.
For context, Netflix is 93%.
Yeah. It's an amazing figure.
And Netflix, you don't have to do anything. Like, you don't have to actually be active and to make it worth your while. Like,
well, maybe this is perhaps one of the numbers that when people think about the future of fitness and indoors and having the flexibility to do it and ease and not heading to the gym, like these might be this is a number that you kind of think, okay, yeah, there's a future here if they can replicate this.
Now, two explanations for that. The first one is they're building this incredible community or they add so much value through the platform and through the classes. And I believe that to an extent. I believe that. The second one is there's such a high upfront cost in the bike that you feel like you have to keep paying for the membership.
Yeah, but I also think that there's a lot of instances where there are high upfront costs to a lot of things and people end up just having them as sunk costs. It's not it's not it's like one of those cognitive bias or human nature to, you know, it's not like someone hasn't gone out and bought a $3,000 road bike thinking they're going to be an Ironman and then never done it since. So. Yeah.
So, all right, let's keep going through the company because I'm mindful of time and we've got so much to still talk about. So to give you an idea of how quickly their users have grown, September 2019, 1.6 million. December 2019, so really just before the pandemic starts to emerge, 2 million. By December 2020, 4.4 million. So they more than doubled in that first COVID year. And now they're, what, 6 and a bit million as we round out another year. So they've basically gone from 2 million to 4 million to a bit over 6 million. COVID's been good for them.
COVID has been good for them. It's been phenomenal growth. As a shareholder, you'd love to see that. Will be interesting to see.
As a shareholder, you would have loved them up to about February this year, and then it's been one way downhill skiing from there.
It's been pretty slippery.
So let's talk about the industry and its competitors, because this is I keep flagging the fact that I've changed my mind on their costs, and this is where I think we talk about that. So industry, global health and wellness industry is valued at about $5 trillion, expected to be $6 trillion by 2025. People are getting more health conscious. You know, there's a growing middle class around the world. Like, we're all aware of the trends. Fitness spending is pretty sticky as well. Within that global category, at-home fitness and wellness has accelerated. We don't actually have the numbers, but anecdotally, We all know that gyms were closed around the world. I bought resistance bands, didn't use them that much.
From Instagram.
From Instagram, and they took and they like 6 months to come. Yeah. And by that time, the motivation had well and truly waned. But let's talk about their major competitors, because this is where I think it becomes interesting. So there's a bunch of other exercise bikes on the market, and there are cheaper exercise bikes, sure. And we can talk to those numbers in a sec. There's a bunch of gyms, but really what Peloton, who Peloton's core customer is, well, at least when they started, was people wanting to do spin classes. And in America, there's a few big companies that do spin classes. None bigger than SoulCycle.
SoulCycle, yeah.
You heard of them?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so this is where I changed my mind on Peloton. Because when we think about spin classes in Australia, we think about like Fitness First or the local gym where the cost of the classes is included in the gym membership.
That's very, that's like traditional, yeah.
Yeah.
But the, I mean, the competitor now would be like an Orange Theory or whatever here in
Australia. I don't go to your fancy gyms.
Like, I don't go to that either.
If you, but anyway. If you guys want to see Bryce, he'll be at Barry's most mornings.
Not true.
Shirt off, red light.
No, no.
But SoulCycle, which took off in America, $34 a class if you buy a pack of 10 for $340. Otherwise, it's $36 a class. And so that's where the maths becomes interesting, because if you put Peloton head-to-head with SoulCycle and you say you buy the Peloton bike with a firm, 36 months, no interest, you're paying about $59 a month, and then you're paying $39 subscription. So a month, you're paying a bit under $100 for unlimited spin classes. Compare that to SoulCycle, $34 a class. Like, you can do that maths, but if you do three classes at SoulCycle, all of a sudden Peloton's a better offer.
Mm.
And for me in the US, that's a really compelling offering.
Yeah, it is taking a bet on how people like to do their exercise. Obviously, SoulCycle's in person. That's the biggest difference.
Yeah.
And Peloton is still online. But yeah, if you just do the maths on it and you're willing to do it from your comfort of your own lounge room and join in the class online, then the numbers certainly make sense for Peloton.
Now, here's the question though. It makes sense when you put them head to head with SoulCycle. I don't think it makes sense when you put them head to head with like a Fitness First in Australia or like other gym models from around the world. And so my question is, how big can they be? Because financially, like me going to Fitness First and doing spin classes there compared to paying for Peloton doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I kind of disagree. Well,
yeah, hit me. Why do you disagree?
Well, it just depends on how you go about treating the bike. Like, if you just go to Fitness First to do a spin class and you pay a full membership, I think you're still paying about $80 a month. And if you're doing like two spins a week, like it's not that different.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you go and get a discount, 30% off or whatever, of course it becomes a lot cheaper. I think my membership at Fitness First is $16 a week or something. Mm. So there's always those opportunities. But if you were to go in full price, full contract, short term or whatever, and you're just doing spin class, treating it as a spin class, which a lot of people do. They go to Fitness First.
I was
going to
ask that question. Do you reckon they do?
100%. I mean, I generally only go to Fitness First for classes.
But you go to other classes other than just spin classes?
I don't actually do a spin class. I go and just do like a body pump or whatever it may be.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, but other people I know go just for a spin. It boils down to how you use it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peloton could be an incredibly successful company targeting those people. I guess the world domination idea of making everyone, like converting huge swaths of the population to at-home fitness, that's where I'm less convinced. But I am convinced on the pricing after learning about SoulCycle.
Yeah. So what about the other competitive landscape?
I think they've started a category. Well, they've started a trend. The category obviously already existed, but there's now a whole bunch more playing in that space. So not Amazon. So we mentioned... we mentioned Hydro and Tonal, and there's a bunch of other companies. A lot of the more traditional exercise equipment, at-home exercise equipment players are taking a leaf out of Peloton's book and creating like digital subscriptions and stuff like that. Obviously, a lot of the wearable companies, so like Apple with their watch, Amazon have launched Halo. They're trying to push into the fitness space more and do like digital subscriptions. Nike have a training club app. I think that's more about running though. Lululemon have an athletic mirror similar to Tonal. So many of these companies are coming to the market and we haven't even spoken about the metaverse yet.
Yeah. Well, let's keep moving through. So we'll take a quick look at the financials before actually looking at what are some of the future prospects for Peloton. So market cap of $13.5 billion. Total quarterly revenue in Q1 for 22 was $805 million. 12-month, we've spoken about their retention rate, amazing retention rate of 92%. So it would be great to see those numbers continue. But in terms of their annual growth for their compound annual growth for revenue, it's a staggering 106% since 2016 to 2021. So their revenue just keeps on churning through. Obviously, they've had significant growth over the last couple of years, given what's been going on with COVID. So whether or not they can continue with that compound growth rate, we will soon see. But they're not profitable. All tech companies over in the States, that's the trend.
Yeah.
So good to see they're sticking with the trend. But yeah, incredible revenue growth.
$4 billion in sales in revenue, $14 billion market cap at the moment. It's not as out of the realm of fair value as some of the other tech companies we've seen.
Mm.
That $14 billion market cap is at the end of it falling 75% though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think let's talk about the future because there's a bunch more things we can talk about, but I think the metaverse needs to be touched on here. And then I think there's also a quick conversation around Flywheel.
Well, I just also want to bring in, I don't know, have you been hearing the chit chat? Like, Peloton, this is the future prospects for Peloton might actually be an acquisition by the likes of Apple, Amazon. Yeah.
But everyone says that about any company that is sort of sleek hardware. Everyone's like, oh, Apple might buy them. It's like Tesla a few years ago. Might buy them. Peloton, Apple might buy them. It's like if you make consumer tech or consumer hardware that looks good, Apple is an acquisition target.
Let's sack podcast and try and make a sleek looking consumable.
Yeah, like the sleekest podcasting mic. Oh, Apple might buy you. They're in podcasting. Like. So let's talk about Flywheel because, and then let's finish with Metaverse.
Sure.
And then we'll get to this interview.
Sure.
When we think about competitive advantage in this space, it can be hard to think about like how they compete with all these other fitness apps on the market. There's not really a network effect in its truest sense. It's not like you joining Peloton adds any incremental value to me using Peloton. But what it kind of does is there's a bit of a flywheel in that if Peloton is able to get the most users, they're able to offer more money to get the best instructors and the best instructors then attract more users and build a better experience who then, and then, you know, the users then recommend it to their friends, which then again, like, gives them more money to get the best instructors, and that flywheel can exist, and the fact that Peloton has a head start matters. That's probably the big defensibility play here because this space is crowded.
Yeah. 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 I want to give it a crack.
Same. Well, yeah. We asked Peloton for a bike to try and they said no.
No, they said they didn't have enough.
They've just opened in Australia. They should have enough.
Well, we'll bring it up. We'll bring it up with Karen when we chat to her.
All right, but let's talk metaverse because I know you're pumped.
Well, yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I mean, you can really see where this could fit in the metaverse if you think about what the metaverse could offer in terms of interaction in the digital world and engaging in fitness classes in the digital world. Peloton are certainly setting themselves up to be involved in that. Sitting on a bike in your lounge room, probably not looking at a screen, but feeling like you're doing the Tour de France all around you with 10 of your mates going up the Alpe d'Huez in France. Like, you can see that sort of all playing out. So
Facebook, Meta acquisition target.
Hold on. Yeah. But I mean, this comes down to that huge thing around what is the future of fitness? Are we going to see a transition of people moving away from, we've done F45 in this series and we spoke about how they're sticking to that sort of traditional in-person classes and they're betting that that's going to continue. Yet here we have Peloton betting that there's a massive shift going to occur in how people are engaging with fitness away from the in-person, taking it into the digital world, doing it from their own homes when it's sort of more convenient and flexible for them. So two different, it's really interesting actually, two different approaches to to the future of fitness. And yeah, I don't really have a view on it. I think people will always want to do some things in person. I don't know. I think for now, but you can certainly see how these,
I guess,
the likes of Peloton.
I guess, but the idea with the metaverse is people need to stop thinking about this distinction of virtual and in person.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
The end state for the metaverse is it.
It's in person.
It gives you that same feeling as it's in person. Yeah. Like it feels like you're in person just digitally.
Yeah, yeah.
The obvious question is Peloton any better placed to win in the metaverse than any of its exercise bike competitors? Like if we're all just going to jump on an exercise bike, log into Facebook and ride together thinking we're on the Tour de France, is that something that Peloton necessarily has a comparative advantage
well,
in? Or is the platform actually still going to be like Facebook?
Well, that's what I mean. What's stopping Facebook just creating a sexy looking bike and saying, hey guys.
Or no, or just saying it's interoperable by any bike and come use our platform because we see the platform as the valuable part of this ecosystem.
Yeah, once again, controlled by Facebook.
Or like the Winklevoss twins Web3 Gemini version, like is there a decentralized Ethereum-based app that creates the platform that we all ride on and we can just ride any bike? That's my question. I'm not technical enough to know the answer. But if it is bike-specific, I'd probably be backing Peloton to get there first.
We have a write-up on Peloton available on our website and we will include a link from the TDM boys over at TDM Growth Partners. They're incredibly
TDM
bullish.
Boys and girls.
TDM boys and girls. So they are incredibly bullish on Peloton, publicly so, and wrote a really good explanation as to their thesis. Now, you know, take it as it is, but you will be able to see how they're thinking about fitness and how they're coming to understand the potential for Peloton in their eyes and why they think it's going to be a decade-long multiplier.
Yeah.
So, it's,
and they wrote it. In the middle of the drawdown.
Yeah. But hey, I don't think they would care about that.
No, no.
The investors
that
they
are. Yeah, you got to respect that.
They wouldn't care. Yeah. So we'll include that plus a write-up in a bit more detail about what we've discussed today. So make sure you go check it out on our website. So Ren, that brings us to the exciting part of the episode where we're going to hear from Karen Lawson, who is the country manager, CEO of Peloton here in Australia. Before we do, we'll take a quick break and then let's jump straight into it.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with purchase.
Karen Lawson is Peloton's country manager for Australia, and prior to Peloton, Karen was the managing director for Spotify in Australia and the CEO of Slingshot. So, Karen, welcome to Equity Mates.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
So as we start all of these interviews with our CEOs, we love to hear them describe their own company in their own words. So what is Peloton?
Well, sometimes it's a bit difficult to describe what it is. It's better to experience it. But the way that I would try and help your listeners understand what it feels like to be part of this world is that we are a global, interactive, connected fitness business. So what that really means is that we bring the excitement and the energy of a boutique fitness class and we bring that into your home or actually wherever you really want to work out. So that could be, you know, yoga on the beach or doing a HIIT class in the park or simply, you know, before a podcast, doing a little bit of calming meditation. So I think sometimes the misconception is Peloton is the bike, or actually Peloton is a connected fitness experience on the app and also with our other equipment.
We did actually float the idea before doing this interview of trying to do it on the bike.
Oh, yeah.
So that we actually could experience as we did the interview. Couldn't get it together, but maybe next time.
Maybe next time, yeah.
You just want to show me up because you'd be in front of me on the leaderboard. And
no. No guarantees. Bryce likes to tell everyone that he was a former junior champion cyclist.
I don't like to tell everyone. Ren likes telling everyone.
So he would be out in front. I would probably be a little bit behind.
And I'd just be making you feel really good about yourself.
So, Karen, a lot of people are probably familiar with Peloton's brand. They probably heard about it in the US, but it's only recently launched in Australia. You're heading up that effort. How's the reception been so far?
Honestly, it's been amazing. I think we are all really humbled by the response we've got from Australians. And even before we really came here or announced that we were coming, it was, you could feel the passion of Australians around, you know, health and well-being. And Australians are very worldly in terms of brands. And so there was a lot of demand and reach out to say, when are you coming? When are you coming? So we knew that there was already that pent-up demand. And our, you know, just our market awareness was really strong. But it actually has been, you know, phenomenal. And we've obviously seen some, you know, real differences in terms of Australians to maybe other places in the world. And we've seen a real propensity for Australians to love the bike plus, which is we've got two bikes. So one's the bike, the other one's the bike plus with the, a number of different features. And so that's been absolutely phenomenal. So we launched in three markets in July the 14th, so it's imprinted in my brain. Right in the middle of COVID, so we couldn't launch our retail stores, which was a real shame, but it's just been wonderful. Like our Facebook groups have really grown and we've just seen that real energy from our members. So nice. Yeah, we're absolutely thrilled.
Yeah, and we should shout out that Martin Place and Bondi are the two retail locations. So if people want to see the bikes, they can.
That's right. Yeah, so we've got two owned and operated stores, which are absolutely beautiful. So there are flagship showrooms. And we recently also announced a partnership with David Jones. So we also have a number of locations with them as well. So we have one in Elizabeth Street, and then we've also got two in Victoria. So one in Bourke Street and the other one in Chadstone Moor, or affectionately known for any Victorians listening as Chaddy.
Nice. You've done your research.
Yeah, I know. Just, you got to speak to them in the heart. Yeah. I know. There are those retail locations that people can literally touch and feel the bike, but we also have a really intimate and beautiful premium experience called virtual appointments. So anyone around Australia can actually book into a virtual appointment and have a one-to-one kind of Zoom with a Peloton expert, and they show you around the bike, and it's a really personal experience, really tailored to the, you know, the music you like, the kind of fitness you want to like to enjoy. So there is lots of ways to kind of interact with us as brand.
Mm. So there's no doubt the bike is what most people know Peloton for.
Yeah.
But, you know, criticism does sort of center around the cost of the bike, starting at what, $2,295 here in Australia. And, you know, if you compare that to other options in the market, it is somewhat expensive. So how do you approach convincing customers to spend this much to get into
it? Yeah. Look, we appreciate it is an investment. I think the first thing is we've, you know, partnered with a buy now, pay later provider. So actually over 39 months, it's $59 a month. And unlike maybe a gym membership, 59 covers the bike that can be used by everyone in your household. So that means, you know, your mom, your dad, your nan, your granny. So it's a really, it's a shared cost. So I think that makes it really affordable. And then the other thing, which I think is really interesting around how much people really are so passionate about us, is I think when you think about the value of it, is that we know that our members work out with us a staggering 16.6 times a month. And in the summer months, actually, if we look at that as a kind of a year number, that can go up to, you know, 24.9. So our earnings reports actually kind of share those numbers. So you also can feel really confident that maybe unlike a gym membership, you're like, am I going to go in today? Am I going to use it? Or, you know, maybe business takes me away and you're not around to use it. So then when you think about the cost to be the value, that's slightly different as well. So when we look at our churn rates, you know, we have a retention rate of 92% across the app and also our bike. And then if we look at Simply Connected Fitness, we have an incredible 0.8% churn rate.
Wow.
Yeah. So that should tell you this is A, something that's really affordable, not just for you, but for your entire family. B, this is something you're going to use a lot a month. And also you're going to absolutely love it. When I think about, you know, is that expensive? Well, it's an investment, but you know what? You're going to use it a lot. Mm. And you're going to have a lot of fun using it. And you know what? You're going to be the most popular person in your house.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to like you and all your friends.
And hopefully the fittest as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, there you go. I know. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Let's talk about that customer churn rate, because it was so mind-blowing to me that Darcy, who works with us, when he found it, I actually made him go and find a second source to back that number up.
You didn't believe us? Oh, no.
I think the first source he found was third party, and so then we checked it on your website.
Yeah.
But it is really impressive. And for context, Peloton is 92%, Netflix is 93%.
Yeah.
And Netflix requires a lot less physical exertion to use.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just... It is testament to once you get people in, they stick around. Mm. But can you sort of unpack it? Like, why do you think the number's so high?
Yeah. Look, it's kind of magical, isn't it, to run a business knowing that customers love it so much and they're so passionate about it. I think ultimately when we look at the business and say, why has it been so successful, I kind of put it down to those three C's. So, I mean, the first thing is just this incredible content. So when we talk about content, you know, these are not just the best instructors, they're the best instructors in the world. You know, if you're going to a gym, it's like, yeah, it's the best, you know, in Double Bay maybe. But you know, you've got the absolute very best. And when I say that, it is they excel at what they do, but they also have this charisma and energy and personalities. And we've got over 40 instructors. So you can choose who really resonates with your personality. And again, you don't always have that kind of personalization or choice. And then music. And we've seen from our partnership with Spotify, for example, that Australians love their music, they love their playlists. And one of the things I didn't quite get till I started using the app, because I actually really enjoy outdoor running, was just the detail with which the class plans are put together, and each body movement is choreographed to a piece of music. So if you're starting off walking, the beats are kind of slow, and then they're counting you down into a fast run, and then all of a sudden you're into a chorus. And music's so powerful as a motivator, but the fact that we've got all these different, you know, artist series, we've just done this incredible, almost like a 72-hour series with Beyonce across all these different modalities.
Wow.
You know, whether you're into like the Bieber or the Beatles, there's just something for you. That really intimate personalization is great. So that's kind of, for me, the content. And then when I think about the different modalities that we have, again, people think about the bike, but if you look at the app or indeed on the bike, you've got everything from, you know, strength to cardio, dance cardio, prenatal, meditation, yoga. And inside all of those different categories, you can filter down, you know, 10 deep to go like upper arms workout, or I want to do flow yoga. So there is just so much choice. There's over, you know, 14,000-15,000 classes. So again, you can absolutely find something you love. But I think the kind of second point then, I talk about the C's, is community, which has just been so incredible. So we have been very much a member first organization. So when we create new features on the bike or across the app, it's because members are telling us, hey, we want this. And so it might sound really obvious, but one thing members have been telling us for a really long time is the pause button. So, you know, if Amazon turns up with a package and you're on a bike,
sure.
You know, or actually it's kind of funny because when the earthquake was happening in Melbourne, we had a lot of people like, no, I'm just carrying on with the class. I'm not stopping it because I don't want to lose my place on the leaderboard. And that is actually true.
Okay.
Because also they couldn't have pressed the pause button, but the pause button is there. But I use it as a funny anecdote, but it is how we develop the business, which is taking on board that feedback to create these features. And then this membership and community are just driving it forward. So you can choose what hashtag you want to work out to, find your crew. You know, you can connect to your best mate on a bike with a Zoom call while you're working out. I don't know why anyone would really want to see me working out. Definitely not what I would recommend, but some people love it. No, like my mum's in the UK and she doesn't have a bike. She's in her 80s, but you know, if she did want a bike and she was on it, we could do a Zoom call, you know, between the UK and here, or you could do a meditation with your mum or your dad or your best friend or your brother that's overseas. So all of a sudden these, you know, these boundaries to relationships that we've missed so much just kind of come down. And then I think the last one is something that resonates with every one of us, which is just life is pretty hard and pretty busy. And so convenience is that last see. And the fact is, we're so used to now with our lives, kind of, you know, whether it's Uber Eats or, you know, it's, you know, ordering online, there is just this, I think, expectation from consumers that I want it personalized, I want it on demand, I want it now, and I want it localized. And fitness hasn't really had any of those elements around convenience. There's always been a barrier of, okay, I've got to put my gym kit on and I've got to get a bus, or I've got to go somewhere and did I book into a class? Oh, I can't get in. Oh, actually, work's taken over. Now I'm going to be docked a few points on my, you know, membership. So all of those things, I think, for a lot of people mean that this is just so much more convenient, but you've got all this connectedness, which is just so much better.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So back in 2017, the percentage of workouts for that were cycling related for Peloton was, what, 94% or thereabouts. Mm. Subsequently now it's much closer to sort of 50%, sitting about 58%. So no doubt that transition and increase in what you provide for your community is changing the dynamic. Mm. What is the sort of product strategy going forward? Yeah. Should we expect any you got a door, you got a gym type style stuff? Well, how's Peloton thinking about even, you know, expanding their offering?
Yeah. Well, our first lens is always about members. So what are members telling us that they want to work out to next? We've seen this really, really big take up in strength. So we saw that across our strength category. So, you know, bar, Pilates, weights. And that is something which is really universal around the world, is this popularity of strength, which I think goes to our, you know, thoughts around fitness. And it's, you know, so many different body types. It's really about health and well-being as opposed to, you know, looking at why you might be working out. And strength has just been massive for us. So we just announced globally that we're going to be launching Peloton Guide, which is a really interesting piece of technology that can sit on top of your TV. And it recognizes your body form. So if anyone's worked out in a class, you know, if you're lucky, an instructor might come over and go, oh, you're lifting that weight not the right way. But how many other times in that hour or 45-minute class is your body not in the right position that could cause injury, or actually not getting the most out of your workout? So Guide has a body recognition that is able to help you understand how you're moving in relation to the instructor. And you can also then share with it what different body parts that you might want to improve. And so it can then also concentrate on those kind of types of, so you might say, hey, I really want to have great biceps, or I really want to work out, you know, my legs. And so again, it's able to really detect what kind of motions are fulfilling your own personal goals. And so that will be launching next year. So we're very excited about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about nutrition? Do you guys do anything in that space?
No, we haven't yet. No.
There you go.
Bryce goes to a gym where they do like blood tests and everything. So maybe that's
genomics.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Can you tell?
Is camera?
No, but it's an interesting point you make, because you like they do pretty well one-on-one classes, and having that one-on-one tell you every movement, walk you through it, compared to doing a 45-minute mass class where you just lift weights the way you think it should be, massive difference.
Yeah. It's like when you talk to somebody that's been playing golf for a while, and all of a sudden they go and get a class and they've almost got to go back to the beginning and rebuild everything from scratch. But I also think with so many different types of modalities as well, the propensity to be doing something slightly wrong, or anyone, for example, has done Pilates and you could look through a window at someone doing Pilates and think they're not working very hard because they're such tiny movements. But then when you do that, you're just like, oh, wow, that's tough. But that tiny movement is also about body placement. And so, you know, whether your hip's not quite in alignment, or your leg or your knee, actually has, it makes a really big difference. And so when an instructor will adjust you, like, oh, okay, now I get it. Now I know that's what I should have been doing. You know, Guide will provide you with all of that. And again, it gives you so much flexibility around how you look at those visuals. So are you side by side with the instructor? Do you not want to see the instructor? You just want to see yourself? So again, this, you know, personalization, but using technology to really help you be the best version of yourself is, I think, very much where we're going. So very much member-led, but, you know, we are a business that's been based on innovation. So just watch this space, I would say. Wow.
Personal trainers get nervous. That person's got AI training coming. Karen, if we look at the industry, this is, I guess, how Bryce and I have sort of viewed it. You can completely disagree, but Peloton really took the home fitness category out of the 1980s infomercial and into
Thighmaster.
Yeah. Those, you know, all those different ab crunch machines and all of that stuff, into the modern tech era, and you know, they created hardware that people wanted to buy and built a community around it with software. Where Peloton created the category, there's now a number of competitors. We saw Hydro, which does rowing, Tonal, and a bunch of mirror and camera competitors. And I'm sure there's plenty more that we didn't find in our research. How do you think about Peloton's edge and competitive advantage, and how do you think about staying ahead of all this competition that's coming into the space?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it's great. One of the questions a lot of people ask is, you know, is this a fad? Did this happen through COVID? Is it going to last? And this was undoubtedly a trend that we were seeing before COVID. And also when we look at our retention, that tells us people love it. So if you're kind of on the fence and thinking about going for it, you just need to look at our retention stats to say, you don't need to worry. This is something you're going to really enjoy because you're going to find the right thing for you. So we very much see that this is the future. And you're absolutely right. I mean, before home fitness was pretty, it was pretty awful, wasn't
it? There was a real taboo around it, you know? You wouldn't want to tell your mates that you're doing that.
Yeah. Not at all. No, I mean, you know, how many people have bought bikes and they're clothes horses? Mm. You know, they just end up being, that's where you put your clothing on to dry. You know, we do joke about it, but this will not be that. And actually, I think one of the great things about Peloton is its very deep commitment to every part of that customer journey. I think we were talking about it earlier. It's such a fascinating business because it's like 11 businesses in one. You know, you've got this absolutely gorgeous, sexy, beautifully designed bike, and someone can be on that and it's silent. It's just so well made, but also it looks beautiful, and it's, you know, it's not something that sits in the back of the room. Actually, mine's at the front of the house, and people are like, oh, look at that.
Classic.
Yeah. No, not that I'm trying to be showy off or anything.
People also shouldn't be surprised you have a Peloton.
That is true. But it is really beautiful, and so I think that design, where we really committed to create the best bike in the world, we've absolutely done that, and no other bike matches up to that. And you can even talk to spin instructors that have been on lots of different bikes. And in fact, a lot of our retail team have made up of really experienced spin instructors, and they're just like, this is phenomenal. This is the best bike I've ever been on. So you've got an incredible bike. You've got the best content. You know, we've got film quality studios, $50 million per studio in London and New York. So the quality of the recording, the visuals is just phenomenal. We've partnered with, you know, incredible artists all around the world, and just the depth of playlists. There is, you know, I think a deep, you know, social responsibility to the business. We're very fiercely anti-racist. So you also know this is a company that you feel proud to, you know, be part of that community for what we're also standing for and where we're giving back to communities around the world. And then I think that whole experience from content, then moving into how you buy the bike, so you can go into Martin Place or some of our other stores, or you can get a virtual appointment. And then when you buy the bike, we don't just rock up and, you know, just leave it there. We actually spend time with you. We get your shoes on, we get you onto the bike, we make sure it's properly fitted correctly. We show you how to use it. So there is this wonderful experience end to end, which you get to share with your family and your friends. And if it's not the bike, then you get to experience the world of Peloton, but through an app. And so again, that's something you can take with you everywhere as well. So it's not just simply, you know, people buying the bike as well to access it. But I think that kind of end-to-end vertically integrated business, that we care so much about that member experience, that we haven't outsourced those parts. We've said it's too important. So in my opinion, we just don't have a competitor that is anywhere near to that you know, to that excellence in everything that we do along that journey.
So I ride normal bikes and
is and normal bikes a pejorative term?
Because you're a champion cyclist, I heard earlier.
And, you know, getting on the old school spin class bikes, yeah. Super uncomfortable, massive seat. They're not, you know, they're just designed for sort of
pain.
Yeah. I haven't ridden a Peloton, but I'd be interested to. Can't wait for you guys to send us a couple. But my question is around the innovation of the bike. Like, what if a competitor comes out and just makes a better bike? I've spent $2,500 buying your bike and then you come out with a Peloton 2.0. Like, what's the process or the R&D that goes into that? Or is it all in the tech, all in the delivery of the experience itself?
You know, to build a really strong business means that you – to some degree, there's business as usual, but you always need to be investing in your future. And so you will just see we've done a capital raise fairly recently. And again, our commitment is that we are investing into this experience to make it always to make it better. So there are always new features that are coming out, new functionality that is coming out. And so you saw that we, you know, had the bike, the original iconic bike, but there were features that customers wanted. But we kept the original one because of the price point. You know, we're very, again, committed to making sure that we do reach that goal of getting to 100 million people around the world that are part of this community. So having a bike that is accessible price is really important, but also, you know, building on new features and technology is really important. So the auto follow, for example, is just a phenomenal experience in terms of that kind of bike instructor taking over your bike and you're not having to lean down and interrupt your class to kind of change the weight on your wheels effectively. So if anyone has done a lot of spinning and they know how often you have to go down and kind of change those weights, it actually can be quite frustrating. Mm. So it's, you know, it is really amazing to just go, oh my God, it's completely connected. I'm really working out and someone's actually changing all of these modalities for me. I think in answer to your question, people shouldn't be worried because we're fiercely competitive. We will be the best. We are the best. And that's part of just continuing to invest in creating better experiences for our members. You know, there have been many times through the years where we've always done the right thing by our members, and other companies may not have chosen to react that way. The first thing for us is always looking after them and putting what they want in front of, could be profitability or growth, but saying we need to do the right thing by people. And I think that trust in our brand is so important. Mm-hmm. You know, we get that feedback all the time that people, you know, do trust us. So I think it's not always what happens when things are right. Sometimes it's what you do when things go wrong.
I think that was a tough, you answered it well. Tough question from Bryce. He's not, it's unlikely you'd ask Tim Cook, if someone comes up with a better laptop, are you going to replace my
work? Well, but it's more just like, I'm interested in the thought process around like consistently building new bikes or a customer is more concerned about the actual tech and the engagement and the offering of classes, and if that's the more engaging part, because do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, speaking of tech, I feel like we can't talk about Peloton and digitizing fitness without talking about the biggest buzzword in tech at the moment, which is the metaverse. Has there been any internal discussions about how connected digital fitness looks when Zuckerberg drags us all into the metaverse?
Well, I think, you know, that there's elements are already there. I mean, I was working out the other day and, you know, people can choose their, you know, photos or avatars, and somebody's avatar is a kangaroo. But people are already choosing their hashtags, they're choosing their communities, they're high-fiving one another virtually, they're connecting to one another in that in those environments. And also, you know, from a social network perspective, people are finding their crew. So whether they're finding their crew through our app or they're using even things like Spotify, for example. So when you like the music, that feeds through to your Spotify account and builds out your playlists. And so people are finding, you know, other family and friends are enjoying the kind of music they like, or they're finding, you know, groups on Facebook and creating their own kind of social networks. So to some degree, you know, we live our worlds here on the planet, but so much of what we do is also deeply connected to technology, and we live so much of our lives on Zooms and in other environments. that I think it is, you know, it's a natural evolution of where we go. I still think, you know, people are still humans, and that connectedness is really, really important. And it's been lovely to see, you know, so many friendships and relationships being built through our network, to the point that we even, you know, have an annual conference every year because our members physically wanted to see one another. And so, you know, that happens every year in New York, and it was virtual this year. So another extension of how we create a festival of Peloton to bring people together.
So we're asking all of the CEOs that we speak to about sustainability, mm-hmm. Very important for the Equity Mates community. So how is Peloton sort of driving sustainability within the business?
Yeah, I think every company is on a journey. And we've been very vocal about in terms of ESG, and we've just launched our first ESG report, which is really comprehensive. So anyone can actually download that from our investor pages. So we've done a huge amount around, I think, social impact. I think we're in our, you know, this is our first sustainability report. And when you are representing equipment, which is actually quite heavy, you know, does have a footprint on the world. You know, I'm really proud to work for a company that is saying we care, this matters, because it does. We kind of look at that through, I'd probably say, you know, five lenses, and that's detailed in the report. But if I just kind of pick out one of them, and in terms of, you know, how we view, you know, our worldview is around, we really want to make an impact on our members, but we don't want to make an impact or a footprint on the world. And we really want that to be light touch. And so that requires thought and consideration and care around how we start to change the way that we do things. And so that can be everything from power. So we have, you know, factories. One of the things we talked to fairly recently is the fact that we actually invest in to build Peloton in the US, first factory. So again, that has a huge impact on, you know, carbon emissions, you know, being much closer to the source of one of the biggest markets for Peloton in the world. But it also gives us a great opportunity to build from scratch. And so whether that's looking at methodologies for different materials or the processes, how we're using water, our commitment to hydrogen and energy, but also thinking about the circular economy as well. So how are we doing that? We have an apparel business, and the same thing, what are the kinds of materials we're using? And we recently launched our own apparel range. We've always had apparel, but in collaboration with other companies. And so now we have the ability to actually think much more deliberately about how we're sourcing fabrics. Can that be from recycled material? How are we thinking about returns, and where does that go? What do we do with spare parts? And I think as a country manager also for Australia, it's something I'm deeply passionate about. I always have been. And I think there is, you know, a real opportunity for us here to do things differently. And already as we've started our, you know, field operations here in Australia, we've been able to do things in a slightly different way to how we've rolled out other countries. Simply by the sheer geography and size of Australia, it means to be more efficient. We have to do things in a slightly different way. And for me, that's really exciting to lead a country with a sustainability first approach, everything from what we do in our office to not having snacks with plastics, you know, all the way through, because these things really, really matter. So I'm really excited that we're on our journey, and we're very committed to doing that. So I think, again, over the next year, we're going to be able to announce much more work, I think, in that space. So it's really exciting for us.
It is. It's very exciting. The whole Peloton story is pretty exciting. So, Karen, we want to say thank you for giving us some time today. I'm sure it's incredibly busy setting up a new country's operation. And we always like to end with the same final question here. Peloton as a business has been around for a little over 10 years. So it might be hard to think about what the business looks like in 10 years. Mm. But if you can cast your mind forward 5-10 years into the future, what does success look like for Peloton?
Mm. Well, success always for us is are we making our members happy? Are we making a difference to their life? And are we helping them be better versions of themselves? And so I think that is our ultimate, you know, guiding light. I think in terms of probably our North Star, I'll give you an acronym now, which is FAAS, FAS. Have you heard that? You've got to have an acronym, right? Yeah, always. Which is, I'll just leave a second now for your readers like, and listeners to think, what is that? But it's fitness as a service.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, very tech-wise. Yeah. Everything is a service.
Yeah, as a service.
If we think about what's even, you know, played out in the last 5 to 10 years, you know, many consumers, they don't necessarily need to own things. They want access to these experiences. And we've seen that with that kind of collaborative consumption movement from Uber to Airbnb. And I think we're going to see that movement into fitness. So why couldn't I have, you know, a rower and next week have a bike, or then I could have, you know, Peloton Guide. So why couldn't I actually change up my year, my life each month with whatever I felt like I wanted to have for a subscription price. So I think many people want to have access to the very best in the world, but not necessarily to own that. So I think that's also part of it. I also think the power of us as a social network is going to be really interesting as we go through the years, as people, as we think about connected fitness, all the different modalities, all the different ways you can kind of bring that to life, and all the different ways that people want to interact and gain information and share that information. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that a lot at the moment, but I think in the years to come, that we, why couldn't we be as big as Facebook?
Wow. That's ambitious.
That's a line to finish on.
Yeah. That might be the line of the episode.
You can start with that one.
Well, Karen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to share the story of Peloton with our audience, and the ambitions to be as big as Facebook. So I can't wait to see how the launch goes now that everyone's sort of back up and running post-COVID. Yeah. And we can't wait to go in and check out the bikes in store.
I've already heard that a few times.
Yeah. I'm excited to get Bryce's take as the former champion cyclist, in case you haven't heard.
I was just having a look. I think I would do the 30-day free trial.
Yeah.
How it goes. And if I feel like I'm part of that 92% cohort of that retention rate, then I'll think about it.
Wow.
It's a way forward. Yeah, you get the bike, we'll come in, we'll train you up, we'll set it up. And if you don't like it in 30 days, we'll come and pick it up. Absolutely no qualms whatsoever.
Watch this space. I was just thinking, though, that we're recording this in November, and 30 days, it's going to eat into a lot of holiday time, so I'll probably do it next year.
But you've also, Bryce also has a 150K bike race in like 2 weeks. So.
Oh my goodness. So
wow. But I was thinking it would have been nice to have a Peloton because all of the rain has killed training.
True.
See?
But maybe it's a better ride than your actual bike, and so it would actually be tough to go back outside.
True. Just do it. Anyway, we can pick this up. Yeah. Thanks so much,
Karen. Do you want a bike? I hear you. I'm going to love it. In case you hadn't heard. Yeah, it was really subtle. I'm not sure I got the undertones there.
We actually don't have a podcast. This is just an elaborate ruse to get a bike. Well, look, Karen,
I love the dedication.
Yeah, we really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, it's been delightful. Thank you so much.
Looking forward to watching it roll out.
Yeah, thank you so much. And really enjoyed the session. And I can't wait to hear what you think of the bike.
Nice, thank you. So, Ren, super fascinating company. Really interesting to see and to hear from Karen about future of fitness and where this is all going. So we'll try and get that bike so we can give it a crack.
Yeah.
And
Hot Boy Winter 2022.
Hot Boy Winter.
All I need is that Peloton.
Now, we have 3 episodes to go in the summer series. We're really enjoying this. We hope you guys are as well. It's all thanks to Superhero, who allow you to buy US and Aussie shares and ETFs with no monthly account fees, and you can now earn Qantas points with Superhero. So visit superhero.com.au/Qantas to learn more. Eligibility criteria, terms and conditions, and fees and charges apply. And a reminder that you still have the opportunity to win $1,000 into a Superhero wallet to get your investing journey underway. All you need to do is take your favorite fact from this episode and drop it in the comments on our Instagram post for this episode that will be available now over on Instagram for the Peloton episode. And we'll choose a lucky community member to win $1,000 and let you know by the end of the week. But otherwise, Ren, we're talking about Calyx next week, one of one of the hottest stocks in the Equity Mates community, a stock that has risen an incredible 600% in the last 12 months, and we're going to unpack why that is. So stay with us. We'll pick it up next episode.
Equity Mates Investing Podcast is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website, where you can find ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.